The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you to Pastor Lee and the musicians and Maria for singing as well. Thank you so much. Now, who likes puzzles? That's good, because I need some volunteers. Now, you also need to be good at crawling on the ground. One, two. I think we'll have Rachel and... Yes, I'm sure Ismail would like to have a go. And then Nick too, yes. So, under 11 pews... Stuck under 11 pews somewhere in the sanctuary, wait for it, are some card puzzle pieces in plastic envelopes. Do you want to go find them for me, please? Now, I know where they are because I got a map of the sanctuary, you see, so I know who's going to be disturbed this morning. Oh, found one over there, yes. When you found them, you want to bring them back here. Now, while they are looking for these pieces, and they are up, there's at least one up in the balcony. Oh, yes. There should be 11 pieces. While they are looking for them, while you're all being disturbed, let's tell the Christmas story. The Christmas story begins with a man named Zechariah in a temple. And an angel appears to him and says to him that his wife Elizabeth, who is quite old, is going to have a baby. Now, he doesn't believe that, and he can't speak for a while. But then this angel called Gabriel goes a few months later to visit Mary, a young girl in Nazareth. When you found the pieces, by the way, you can start to try and assemble them into what the pattern is on that piece of card. You'll need all 11 pieces to do so. So the angel then appears to Mary and says to her that she is going to have a son. There are 11 pieces. 11 pieces. Each piece has a black cross on the back. That's not the side that you need. It's the other side, okay? There's three more out there. Mm-hmm. At least two are in the center of an aisle. You all may need to raise your right hand and just do this and just see what you can find, okay? So the angel appears to Mary and tells that she is going to have a son, and he will be called Jesus. He's going to take people's sins away. And Mary is excited. She goes and sees Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth is also going to have another baby boy. And she sings a song of worship. And eventually, Elizabeth has a boy, and his name is John the Baptist. And when he's born, his father, Zechariah, who was the priest in Jerusalem, he also sings a song of worship. Yes. How are we doing? They can figure it out. So Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, sings a song of worship. He's excited at the birth of his son. And then just a little bit later, Mary gives birth. And his name, of course, is Jesus. At that point, Joseph, who was going to marry Mary, hears about her being pregnant, and he is concerned because he wasn't sure why. He didn't know it was a miracle. And he's thinking of just ending that relationship with Mary. But in a dream, an angel tells him to carry on marrying Mary, because the boy that she is carrying is Jesus, and he will take away the sins of the world. And then there's a Roman emperor, a big emperor, big king kind of person. And he decides he wants to count how many people are in the empire. But he tells all those in his empire to go back to the place where their family comes from. You are nowhere near yet, guys. Thank you. That's my job. And so the emperor tells the people to go back to their home village. And so Mary, who is almost ready to give birth, has to go back with Joseph to where Joseph came from, which is a town called Bethlehem, just a few kilometers from Jerusalem. And when they arrive, because I guess lots of people had to go back there, there was no room for them. They would have gone to the family home, and there was no room for them in that family home. But because in Middle Eastern culture, you should never turn somebody away, the family clearly made room for these visitors in the bottom part of the house, which is where they kept the animals. It keeps them occupied. So they are given space in the lower part of the house, in what would be called the animal pen. That's how they constructed homes those days. And so Mary gives birth to Jesus in the basement area of a first century house where they kept all the animals in a smelly animal pen, And when he's born, she wraps him in cloths and places him in the animal feeding trough, what we call the manger. And then the story shifts to the shepherds, don't we? Know the shepherds? Angels appear to the shepherds and tell them that this Jesus has been born. And so they hurry off into Bethlehem to go looking for Jesus. Maybe I should give you some help. Let me get my map. Because I know where they were all put. Did you get the one in the balcony on the third row down from the top there? Yes. There's one back row here on the inside of the aisle. There's one on the 14th one up on this side, right on the edge here. On the ninth aisle, our ninth pew from up the front here, in the middle, there's one. So you have to count to nine from the beginning. That helps. So the shepherds hear this great news, and they hurry off to Bethlehem. The shepherds are very important in the story. It is the first time in the Christmas story that the shepherds are the ones who hear that Jesus is Savior, Christ, and Lord. It's to the shepherds that they first hear this. But is that the end of the story? No. What do we have this morning? We have the story of the wise men. We call them magi. We kind of thought of them as kings. They're not actually kings. They were wise men who probably came from Babylon. And they come, and they, in those days, often emperors and kings would welcome wise men from Babylon, just the thing that they did. So it's not surprising that these wise men arrive at King Herod's court. Of course, they've been led by a star miraculously. And they're seeking one called King of the Jews. Now, Herod, he was not really supposed to be king. He kind of stolen the throne. And so when someone comes and tells him, we're looking for the one born king of the Jews, you can imagine, he is concerned. He's thinking, what's going on here? So he wants to find out where Jesus is born. So he goes to those who can consult the Old Testament, part of our Bible, and they go to a prophecy, an 8th century BC prophecy by a man named Micah that talks about Bethlehem. And then Herod says to these wise men, when you get there, you find out where Jesus is born, then you come back and tell me, because I also want to go and worship him. He was lying. He didn't want to do that at all. He wanted to get rid of Jesus. And the wise men then see the star, and they go to Bethlehem. And when they find Jesus, they bow down before him, and they offer their gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. At this point, I need that jigsaw puzzle completed. It's important for the next point of the story. The map just tells you where they were.
Okay.
Doesn't tell you what order they go in.
Do we have all the pieces?
Have you got 11 pieces?
We're missing one.
You're missing one.
Okay.
There you are, Rachel. You figure it out. Those are aisle numbers from the front. Can I help you?
Yes.
Yeah? I believe it. There is one missing. The one they've got is missing.
The tower is not
there. That might go there.
Oh, it's an arrow.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
It's pointing.
Oh, it needs to have. That goes.
It's meant to be an arrow. It's pointing here.
just talk among yourselves, okay? Why don't, get up and greet one another. Stand up and greet one another.
This is so tricky.
Okay, it's meant to be a cross, okay? Just so you know that.
Oh.
It's meant to be a cross, just so you know that, okay? So if it's a cross... meant to be a cross.
Die for the people.
That looks. That makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah. There's something missing here, though.
Okay. Yeah. The big one missing there, and that goes out like that. So you've got to get the one bit in there, and then that goes on the end there, and that will give you the cross then. Okay. And when you've got it in there, you can start to stick these pieces down for me. Okay. You can stick those ones down already because those are actually correct. This was a brilliant idea in my mind last night, okay? It would be going so smoothly and everything would be fine and it would just be perfect. They got a plan. You got to count from the front the number of pews. There is one piece that they're missing. It's a rather important piece. It kind of links everything together. They're going to come up with a particular shape. And that shape is very, very important. That shape tells us what is missing from the Christmas story. Okay? To give you some clues. When you stuck it down, I want you to put it on here so everybody could see, okay? They get a prize, yes. They get. They can share an orange, yes, that's right, yeah. I have two, that's okay. Let me give you a clue. The Christmas story is just the beginning, okay? But there are clues in the Christmas story about where that story is meant to go. One of the clues is the name that is given by the angel to Joseph in the dream. Jesus. Now that's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Yeshua. And it means the Lord is salvation. Oh, well done. Look at this. Why don't you come around here so you can see it for me? Why don't you come around here so you can see it? That's great. Thank you. And you can all sit down. And Jesus, the Lord, saves. which tells us that there's more to the Christmas story. And then think about the gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus: gold, incense, and myrrh. Those gifts were often given to kings. But myrrh's a strange gift. If you look into Mark's gospel and into John's gospel, myrrh was given to Jesus when he was crucified. And myrrh was one of the spices that was going to be used on his body when he was buried. So this gift points to something else that has to happen. It reminds us of the cross. If we're going to understand Christmas, what it's really about, we have to put all the pieces together. All the stories about the wise men coming and the shepherds and the announcement of the angels to, firstly, to Zechariah and then to Mary, and the dreams that Joseph had, all of these things, the gifts that the wise men gave. And we begin to get clues that Christmas is just stage one of a rescue mission. Just stage one of a rescue mission. We have to go to the cross, because there, that's where Jesus dies for me, for everybody here, for you, for the whole world, so that we can have a relationship with God. Now, I want you to remember three things. You can talk about this around your Christmas dinner tables. There are three important things about Christmas, three things that are empty. We have to understand three things that are empty at Christmas in order to understand the Christian message. The first, the manger is empty. That's important because sometimes people think, oh, it's just Jesus, isn't it nice and cute? Jesus did not come to be cute on Christmas cards. No. The manger is empty. There is no danger with a Savior left in a manger. The manger is empty. Jesus grew up. That's the first thing that's empty. The cross is empty. The price is paid. Jesus said, it is finished. He's done it. He's done everything that we need to have a relationship with God. He has paid the price. The cross is empty. He's not still hanging on the cross. The cross is empty because it is done. It's finished. And what else do you think is empty? The tomb, well done, yes. The tomb is empty because Jesus is alive. He's conquered death. That means we don't have to have any fears or concerns or worries in this world because we know Jesus has conquered death. So at Christmas, the orange reminds us of gifts given. And Jesus is the greatest gift, isn't he? The stories that we have of Christmas, of his name, or even the gift of myrrh, reminds us of the cross. Christmas is just the beginning. And there are three things that are empty. The manger is empty because Jesus grew up and came to pay the price. The cross is empty because the price has been paid. It is done. It is finished. And the tomb is empty because Jesus rose from the dead. And therefore, we have life. This is what Christmas is really all about. So let me pray for us. And then we're going to sing a wonderful Christmas carol. And thank you for your patience this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you care about each one of us. You care about each one of us. It doesn't matter whether we are young or whether we are old. You care. And at Christmas, we want to know more of who you are, what you're like. We thank you that Jesus came. We thank you that he died on the cross for us. We thank you that he is alive and therefore we can worship him. We pray, O Lord, that we may this Christmas have opportunity around dinner tables with family, friends, to talk a bit more about the Christmas story, about why Jesus came. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.